Zinc Media. Feel the power of knowledge.
Man over here, Rod, he is like one of the greatest Americans I have ever met. This is why it is a privilege to sit here with him during his show. When in here in the bunkerized homes, you know, this bunkerized home studio, this is awesome, man. I would just wish all of y'all could see it. And you know something else? For those of you who, you know, I just sort of get on people. I get on them. Because I want them to understand that America is the best country that there is. Man, it's the best country. There ain't nothing but, and I have seen the best and the worst of Americans throughout my long, illustrious career. And so is my Uncle Buford. Yeah, he's been out there chasing them. And you know, he's still chasing them from his grave. Let me tell you, God bless him. Rest his soul, Buford. Uncle Buford, you're a beautiful man. And this guy right here that I'm sitting right next to, Rod. Yeah, he's a beautiful man. He's a beautiful American. And he don't speak none of that Spaniard language. He only speaks American. Let me just tell you that right now. He speaks American. That's all. I'm just telling you, you got to listen. She only speaks American.
Thank you, Sam. Hello, my fellow Americans. It is I, your lovable host, Elrod, coming to you live from my bunkerized home studio somewhere in the great Granite State of New Hampshire, where the state motto is live free or die. It is not big government or bust.
I kind of like that title.
Yeah, and if you wish to call me tonight, it is 603-835-3224. It is Wednesday hump day, June the 10th in the year of our Lord, 2015. And, yeah, you know, Sam's a great guy. Gotta love Sam. You'll be hearing more from Sam as time goes on. He will not be at the event and the speech tomorrow, but, you never know where he could pop up. So, he might be with me down in Pennsylvania sometime. I think it's in July, is Pennsylvania, if I'm not mistaken. I'll be in Pennsylvania, a couple of towns in Pennsylvania, a couple events in 1 week. Yeah, I'll be busy. Hey, did you, you know, I told you last night about the Rubio boat and how the New York Times was, you know, calling out Rubio about his evidently $80,000 little dinghy speedboat. Excuse me, that's not really a speedboat. Well, it has come out that Marco Rubio's boat is nothing more than a modest 24-foot Edgewater 245cc. It's basically a fishing boat. It's not even really a speedboat. Now, I know when people think of speedboat, you know, they're probably thinking of, like, you know, the cigarette boats and things like that. No. And they're jumping on Rubio for, hey, this could be the presidential yacht. You know, the president used to have a yacht. And then I forget which president got rid of it, because it was just, ridiculously too expensive. And the Secret Service didn't like it anyway. But I'll have to do some research to find out which president got rid of the presidential yacht. I don't know why. The president doesn't need a yacht. He can just get on one, you know, an aircraft carrier. You know, aircraft carrier should probably have a presidential suite or something, and I don't know. Maybe it's a captain's bunk. But they got on, the New York Times got on Marco Rubio for having this. He lives in Florida, for crying out loud. He's a senator from Florida. What Floridian that lives on or near the water doesn't have a boat? And even if it's just a little dinghy. You know, even if it's just a little, you know, what do they call it? A nutshell dinghy. Yeah, you know, you're going to have a boat if you live in, if I lived in Florida, I'd have a boat. It doesn't make any sense not to. You know, as long as you can afford it, and evidently Rubio can afford it. He, you know, he wasn't doing anything extravagant. You know, he paid off all his student loans, dug himself out of debt, worked his way out of debt, paid it off, and then he purchased a boat. No big deal, but I can't believe that the New York Times is making a trying to make hay out of Rubio's 24-foot Edgewater boat. With only 245 cc's. No, it's a twin engine thing, but it ain't, it's 24 feet. It ain't big. Now compare it to, who? Oh yeah. Yeah. You know, John Kerry, who's got a $7 million yacht. The yacht's name is Isabel, by the way. $7 million. And, you know, John Kerry got it when while he was the senator from Massachusetts. A senator from Massachusetts. But guess where he berths the boat? He berths it in Rhode Island. And why did he do that? So he could avoid the higher Massachusetts taxes of having it berthed in Mass. At $7 million. I don't know. When was the last time John Kerry was on? Well, probably Teresa. It's been on it, but when was the last time John Kerry was on that boat? Not since, well, you know, he's not since becoming Secretary of State, I would assume. But you know, he might be relaxing now, and you know, letting his broken leg heal. But I just, you know, they are looking. This just goes to show that the left, including the New York Times, they are worried. Half to death. They're worried sick because they have nothing on the front runners on the Republican side. They don't have anything. And they're trying to find stuff. And the little stuff that they find, they're trying to blow it up. You know, they're trying to make Mount Everest out of a little anthill here. And it's not working. And it's not working because the people that have the problems or on the left, and really, it's just Hillary Clinton. She's the one that's got all of this stuff to answer for. The problem is that if you go after somebody on the right, and none of them have the things that those who are serving on the left have. So if you're going after Marco Rubio on this 24-foot fishing speedboat, then you better, you know, mention the fact, oh, yeah, well, you know, John Kerry's got a $7 million, you know, yacht. And we're talking, it's a nice boat. You know, where is it? I think it was made, I'm not sure, it was made down under. Was it made in Australia? Somewhere, I think it was either Australia or New Zealand, I do believe, if memory serves. Or maybe it was Ireland. It was not built in the United States, that's for sure. It was built in another English-speaking country, but it was either Ireland, New Zealand, or Australia. And, there you go. But, you know, it is what it is. The New York Times is taking it on the chin on this one, actually. For even bringing it up, you know, and trying to make something out of, you know, they try to say, oh, yeah, Rubio's got 17 moving violation traffic tickets. And come to find out, it's his wife that's really the bad driver. And in like 15 years, Rubio's gotten four. The rest are his wife. And it, again, it was over like a 15 or 17 year period. It's, they made it sound like, well, yeah, he got over the last 2 years or while he's been senator, they got 17 via, you know, traffic violation. No, it's been all the time since they've been in Florida. It would appear. And he paid them. He didn't even try to use any position that he may have had in government at the time to try not to pay these things. And, you know, he didn't say, "Do you know who I am?" It doesn't appear that he ever pulled that one out of a hat, in that he just, you know, whatever he had to pay, he paid. Sounds like a responsible person to me. But again, they're just trying to find anything that they possibly can. On these people, you know, I don't know, maybe they'll dig up something. What are they going to dig up in Lindsey Graham? They're going to dig up Lindsey Graham is gay because he's single. Yeah, I actually got something about Lindsey Graham here, about him being single, now that I mention it. Lindsey Graham is a bachelor. And, you know, he's a rather soft-spoken Southern gentleman, you know, with that soft-spoken Southern gentleman type of voice. And I'm sure there are plenty of people that have often thought, well, maybe Lindsey, with that name Lindsey, maybe Lindsey likes boys or something. I don't know. But I don't think that is true. But even if it is, so what? It doesn't change, you know, my view of him at all. He's still a rhino, you know, and I don't want him to be the nominee, and he's not going to be, but here's, excuse me, from the dailymail.co.uk, he said about, you know, because he was asked about, well, you know, what about First Lady Lindsey? You're a bachelor. He says, well, I've got lots of friends. We'll have a rotating First Lady. He says, the Republican senator told the Daily Mail Online at a recent campaign event, I've got a sister. She could play that role if necessary. And he added, I've got a lot of friends. We'll have a rotating First Lady list. Only two U.S. presidents, by the way, were unmarried when they took office, James Buchanan and Grover Cleveland. Cleveland, however, later married while in office. Graham says that 16 Pennsylvania Avenue would be more open place if he moved in, and he'd play host regularly to his former colleagues. So he'd just be a good old Southern boy. Is he from Atlanta? I'm not sure where exactly he's from, but you know, he just has that good old Southern boy charm. You know, his sister, I guess, could act as First Lady if she wanted. But she's married, I do believe. But sure, why not? Dolly Madison played First Lady for Buchanan, I do believe. Well, he acted, you know, Madison was married, but, you know, she did certain things for that a First Lady would do if he had one. I don't know. Some people might say that, you know, being a bachelor might be a good thing for the president, because then he wouldn't be distracted. But then we've had movies about that, haven't we? I think, was it Michael Douglas? Didn't he play in a movie where he was a president and he was single, and I forget who his love interest was, but at the time, Annette Bening, I think, right? Annette Bening played the lead character opposite him. I don't know. I don't recall the name of the movie, but those are the two people that were in it. And who is Annette? Isn't it Annette Bening? Is she married to or still dating Warren Beatty, right? Not that I really care. I'm just trying to put all the pieces together here. But in any case, we have Lindsey Graham, who's a bachelor, and he's the only bachelor. I believe he's the only bachelor in the field. I don't. Yeah, is Dr. Carson married? You know, I've never, if he is, we've never seen his or heard from his wife. That would be interesting. Carly Fiorina, yeah, where's her husband? I don't know. A lot of the spouses have not been playing a prominent role in any of the campaigning so far. So far. That'll change as things get down to the nitty-gritty. Hey, the number of government regulations. I've often said about regulations that we have too many of them. We have too many laws. We have too many regulations. We have too many rules. But, and I've said that they've pretty much exploded under Obama, but, you know, I mean, page after page after page after page, and Congress needs to do something to rein this stuff in, because this is way out of hand. I mean, it is to the point now where you're going to run afoul of some law, rule, or regulation. And, of course, a rule or regulation still carries the same weight as a law as far as, you know, you being fined and penalized and possibly jailed for running afoul of a rule or regulation as well as running afoul of a law. But the number of government regulations has exploded under the Obama administration. Like I have said before, the environmental, and this is actually something from Hannity.com, believe it or not, Hannity articles. The Environmental Protection Agency alone has issued over 3,300 new regulations since Obama took office back in January of 2009. By the way, just a couple months after that, March of 2009, I started this show. Now, basically, it equals nearly 30,000 pages in the Federal Register and close to 30 million words. 30,000 pages. Who has time to read 30,000 boring pages of rules and regulations? I mean, you know, that's worse than a Harry Potter book combined with the Game of Thrones book combined with the, what is that, the Catching Fire thing, Kids Killing Kids type of book combined with Twilight. Think about all of those big, you know, serial novels or stories do not combine, come up to or meet the number of pages in the Federal Register that have been attributed to the over 3,300 new regulations since Obama took office. It's Hunger Games. That's it. Thank you. 3,300 and 30,000 pages. I mean, it's unbelievable. And here's one of the things. This is from the Washington Times. Obama's EPA is about to target greenhouse gas emissions. Now everybody's saying, well, yeah, they've been talking about that for a long time, but here's the deal. It goes beyond targeting your car, targeting your truck, targeting you know, the tractor trailer semis out there. It goes beyond attacking coal plants and gas powered electric producing plants. Oh, it goes way past all those, and it is now going to target specifically greenhouse gas emissions from jet aircraft. I kid you not. The EPA is about to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from aircraft. The Obama administration declared yesterday that airplanes are a major source of greenhouse gas emissions, allowing the Environmental Protection Agency to expand its reach to yet another sector of the economy as the president seeks to cement his legacy on climate change. In the historic announcement, the EPA said it will limit emissions from all commercial aircraft and could release specific standards as soon as next year. The move, which drew immediate criticism from Republicans on Capitol Hill, who say the restrictions will drive up airline tickets, it will, comes as the EPA also cracks down on carbon emissions from power plants and institutes other controversial climate change measures that will be felt across the economy. It's going to cost us all mucho grande money. Mula. It's going to cost a lot. We're going to feel it in our pocketbooks, folks. In addressing it, and again, over something that doesn't exist. You know, man-made climate change does not exist. And yet, it's something that we have to try to deal with on a regular basis. And it doesn't exist. No. In addressing climate change by targeting airplanes, President Obama is imposing new regulations on an industry that has clearly demonstrated it can cut emissions on its own without new government mandates. And, you know, they have a huge incentive to cut their own emissions. And I say this because it means if they can cut their emissions, they are actually doing what? Cutting their fuel consumption. And jet fuel for an airline company is a huge, huge expense. And if they can bring, you know, look, they go out there and they buy, they go out and buy stuff, planes that get better MPG, if you will, better gas mileage, if you will. They don't want to have airplanes that spew, you know, that gobble up fuel. It costs them money. I mean, that is fuel is their number one expense, and then they have labor, but fuel is huge, and that has a direct impact on the cost of your ticket. Now, if they have to keep buying new planes or new engines or to fit some of these stupid regulations that are going to come out from a bunch of bureaucrats that know nothing about the airline industry, yes, you can better believe that your airline tickets are going to go up. And it's going to, you know, the cheap routes and the cheap flights, they're probably going to go away. You know, it's going to hurt the airline industry. Well, that's probably what Obama is trying to do. Now, if you're going to fly into this country, you're going to have certain, you know, a certain gas mileage, if you will. And it's amazing that people will, you know, look, I told you that this guy was going to double down on his radicalism. And all you got to do, you better buckle in, because this is just the beginning. This is not the end of this stuff. We still got another year and a half to go with this guy. You know, anything is possible with Obama. And, you know, you better just buckle down, buckle in, and get ready to go along for the ride, because he's about to put you through your paces like it's a roller, major new roller coaster ride. And unfortunately, unlike a roller coaster ride, which most of us probably love, this is a ride that's going to be more like a ride of horror. Most of us are not going to like it. Even many of those on the left, they're not going to like it either.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. Call InventHelp today.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-352-1609. That's 1-800-352-1609.
If you want to work until you keel over, have less of everything in retirement, or give back more of your hard-earned money to the stock market again, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to protect the money you save, receive a steady, predictable retirement income, and enjoy financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. You can download a free report that reveals the wealth-building secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. You'll learn how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and real prosperity without risking your money in the Wall Street casino, and how to get the money you need when you need it, simply by asking for it. This is the best way to have a 100% secure retirement and know your money will last as long as you do. To learn more about this method and to get your free report, go to 52security.com. That's the number 52security.com. 52security.com. Go to 52security.com.
Hurt or injured in a car accident? It can be hard to take the proper legal action after a car accident, but waiting can cost you more. The law requires car accident victims to assert claims promptly. You could lose out by simply waiting. Call 800-709-4667 right now to see what your claim could be worth when handled by a skilled attorney. With a lawyer fighting and speaking up for you, you could be entitled to a big cash award. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Now it's fast and easy to connect with the legal help you need after your car accident. Call 800-709-4667. The call is free, but you need to act now before time runs out on your claim. You need a lawyer to fight for you, protect you, and get you the compensation you need and deserve. Time's wasting. Call 800-709-4667. That's 800-709-4667. Call now.
I considered suicide so I wouldn't put my family through all the pain.
Many of our warriors are returning home from the battlefield, only to face a new war, as they struggle with devastated injuries. At Wounded Warrior Project, we understand. We're there to help.
Even though you think you're broken, you're not. It's the physical and the emotional healing that Wounded Warrior Project provides.
With a gift of just $19 a month, you can join Wounded Warrior Project. You'll help provide critically needed programs and services that rebuild lives.
Beautiful!
The ongoing needs of our wounded and their families will continue for many years to come. Now is the time to show your support. Call now or go online with your gift of just $19 a month and we'll send you this Wounded Warrior Project blanket.
It made me feel that there's people out there that care about us.
After this event, we can finally maybe start to heal as a family and move forward.
We need your help. The families are hurting.
For many of our wounded heroes, the greatest casualty is being forgotten. That's why your gift of just $19 a month is so important. Please call or go online right now.
You shouldn't have to pay to talk to the people closest to you, or the people who used to be. That's why Umbrella Wireless is proud to announce the new friends, family, and recent ex-girlfriend plan. Now you'll get unlimited calls to your best buddy, your mom, or Cindy, once she realizes that you're seriously meant for each other and should stop screening your calls. Now the 30 minutes of agonizing silence where you're both afraid to hang up may drain your battery, but it won't drain your wallet. And you'll get unlimited calls just to check if she still cares enough to pick up, with no extra charges. With a friends, family, and recent ex-girlfriend plan, your phone will automatically answer calls from your ex, because maybe she finally realizes that you're the only one for her and wants to get coffee sometime. Now, after lonely nights of looking at pictures of the road trip you took together when everything was great, your misspelled texts are absolutely free. The only thing you have to pay for is the booze. The friends, family, and recent ex-girlfriend plan. Because she wants you back. She just doesn't know it yet.
Yeah, it appears.
appears that Obamacare is having some real issues, I guess. Such as there are, this is from the Washington Post, there are some 50 hospitals who charge the uninsured more than 10 times the cost of care, so a study finds. And this is happening in places like Arizona, in places like Arkansas, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, and other southern states. Now, 50 hospitals in the United States are charging uninsured consumers more than 10 times the actual cost of patient care, according to research published last Monday. All but one of the facilities are owned by for-profit entities, and the largest number of hospitals, 20 of them, are in Florida. For the most part, researchers said the hospitals with the highest markups are not in pricey neighborhoods or big cities where the market might explain the higher prices. Now, topping the list is North Okaloosa Medical Center, a 110-bed facility in the Florida Panhandle, about an hour outside of Pensacola. Uninsured patients are charged 12.6 times the actual cost of patient care there. And now, Community Health Systems operates 25 of the hospitals on the list. Hospital Corporation of America operates 14. And, they're just charging a lot of money. They are price gouging because they can, said Gerard Anderson, a professor at the John Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. They're marking up the prices because no one is telling them they can't. Oh, so he added that these are the hospitals that have the highest markup of all 5,000 hospitals in the United States. This means that when it costs a hospital $100, they're going to charge you an average of $1,000. So, but they're for profit. They're in business to make money. I know some people find that distasteful, but medical system, it costs money to run a medical facility. It just doesn't happen for nothing. It doesn't happen for free. It costs money. No, don't get me wrong. I am not agreeing that people should be gouged this way but again, sometimes you got to ask, well, why are they charging so much are they not being paid by these people? The fact that, insurers under Obamacare are only paying, if it costs $100, are they only paying $90 for that? Sometimes that is the case. Sometimes it is the case. You have to understand. If we just get out of the way and let people buy their own insurance across state lines, like they can their car insurance or their life insurance or their homeowners insurance or their renters insurance, it would be a lot cheaper for everyone. There'd be more competition. People would get what they wanted. They'd pay for what they wanted, and you wouldn't have to worry about, a hospital charging you this much more than this patient or this much more than this non-patient. It would be a moot point. We know this. It has worked in every industry of the every sector of the insurance industry when it has been tried. Every sector has become more competitive, more affordable. So, I don't even say that it won't, because it will. It'll make it more affordable. Hey, Clinton. Clinton is out there preparing to, I guess, relaunch her launch or launch her launch, or she's launching her launch of the launch that she launched back in April, but that wasn't the real launch. So the real launch is coming up because, you know, the false launch in April wasn't the real launch, because in May, when she could have had a real launch, she didn't have a real launch then. That was just another false launch or a temporary launch or a partial launch. Who knows? She's out there talking about, you know, well, this is going to be my first major speech, and waiting for her first major speech, because every time we turn around, you know, she said, well, this isn't my major speech. Can you say that her campaign is spinning out of control simply because she doesn't know, outside of telling the truth and just coming clean, she doesn't know how to handle all her scandals. And she's trying to put the scandals behind her before she, quote unquote, officially really launches her presidential campaign. But I'm sorry to tell you, Hillary, hilarious, that that's not going to happen. So you might as well either come clean now or just say that, you know, launch your campaign without acknowledging your shortcomings, I guess. I mean, this is comical, actually, that she continues to be out there she's not acting presidential. She's acting like, you know, she's a queen or something. I don't have to answer your questions. No, I'm above answering your questions of, you know, you silly reporter. You silly journalists think that I have to answer questions that you might have. I will give you the questions that you're going to ask me, and then I will give you varied, intelligent, well-thought-out responses to those pre-planned questions. You don't get to ask me any question you want. No, because I'm above that. I mean, this is how she's acting, really. You know, Mrs. Clinton is... I don't know where these people get this arrogance from. It is just beyond me how these leftists have this level of arrogance that is beyond arrogance. I mean, it is a level of narcissism that is just, I don't know where it comes from. I'm not even sure how it gets to the point where they have it. None of it really makes any, how do you get to the point where you think, When you're running for president of the United States, that you think that you don't have to answer questions? I mean, the American people have a right to know, you know, what you're thinking, what you're going to do if you're elected. And you don't just get to say, well, no, I'm not going to tell you. I'm not going to ask you answer any questions because you're not going to get to ask any. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, Clinton is just, she's a very harsh woman. Now, she's never, I'm not, and it isn't because she's not a, well, I got to tell you, she's not a looker. I've never thought that Hillary was a looker, even when she was younger. She's not a looker, not by a long shot. So it is, do people really, it is just so hard to, I know what I want to say about this woman, but I don't know if I should. And the reason why I say I don't know if I should, because it's more than harsh. I mean, it's a critique of her that I believe is absolutely on point, but it's not, it is beyond not nice. it's beyond the realm of, you know, what has been normal for, you know, when you pick apart a presidential candidate. I don't want to look or sound like, like a liberal. Accent sounds like when they're dealing with a conservative. But I got to tell you, we can't allow this woman. We can't even really allow her to get the Democratic nomination. I know some people are saying, well, yeah, let her get the nomination because we'll trounce her. No, but see, that's kind of what we said about Obama. And lo and behold, now we're dealing with his second term. We cannot risk letting this woman be able to step foot in the Oval Office. I don't know what y'all are worried about. You know, I'm not going to be in the Oval. Well, I'll probably be in the Oval Office when she's not in there, but you know, I'll just be going over the glory days. I won't be making policy. Well, maybe I will, because I am the brains in the whole operation when it comes to politics and stuff like that. Hillary's got, she's got her strengths. You know, she can be a pit bull. I know she can be a pit bull, but you know what? I'm the man. And you're going to want me back in that Oval Office when the shit hits the fan. I'm telling you right now. She may be the president, but, you know, but I'll be the one. I'll be the one calling the shots. You can better believe it, buddy. Do we really want them back in the White House? Can we afford to have them in the White House? I don't think so. I think if she even gets close, there is just no way she should even be close to getting into the White House. That just, we've got to make sure that she is trounced so badly and booted to the curb so harshly that others who are similar to her, like Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, won't even think about picking up the torch. I mean, this is just, it's nonsensical, folks. This woman, she's, in my book, she's a criminal. And she should be put on trial for high crimes and misdemeanors. She should be put on trial and let a jury, you know, let all the facts come out, let a jury decide her fate. She shouldn't be running for president. She should be looking for a lawyer. After all, you know, I think they still have the Clinton, you know, they can afford it now. You know, back when Bill was in the White House, you know, maybe they were a little tight for cash when Bill was all that legal trouble, but they can afford it now. They got the buku bucks. You know, we're talking millions upon millions upon millions. If they spent $10 million on a Hillary defense, they wouldn't even. I mean, hell, Bill gets, you know, $500,000 or more per speech. And I don't know how many does a year, but for crying out loud, he only doesn't have to do many. A month's worth. And he's got that bill taken care of. Pun intended. As long as he stays off Orgy Island and other places like that, and he just, you know, yeah, I got to work, pay the bills. I got to pay the bills. You know, if I charge $500,000, you know, I got to pay the bills. I mean, I saw something earlier today that talked about how former presidents typically, as they age out of the White House. In other words, the longer they're out of the White House, the lower their speaking fees tend to get, because they start to become more and more irrelevant and less in demand. So their speaking fees lower. But bills are the only ones that have gone up, which is really weird. Flies in the face of precedents in history. Oh, you know, Bill was, he left office, what, 2001? And here we are in 2015. And he's commanding more today than he did back then. And, you know, now they have this Clinton Family Foundation, and their daughter and her husband were able to purchase, what, $10 million abode in New York City? Hey, $10 million for Chelsea? Seriously? And you want to tell me there's no shenanigans going on there? I'm sorry. There needs to be a full-fledged, if this were an ordinance, if this were, you know, talk about American greed. The Clintons have put on a beautiful scam as far as I'm concerned. This could be one of the biggest, could be one of the, you know, if they ever did a full investigation, could be one of the biggest scams ever perpetrated on the people of the planet, not just here in America. Well, because, you know, there are other dignitaries, governments, and other foreign people involved in donating money to this couple and their foundation and paying for, you know, their speeches and whatnot. So there's a lot that's there. And I think that there really needs, I'm calling for a full-fledged, full-on investigation of this woman and her husband. And I hate to say it, but, you know, let's face it, Chelsea, I find it hard to believe that she'd be totally innocent and non-complicit in all of this when she's, well, what was it that I think $600,000 is her salary for the Clinton, running the Clinton Foundation, Family Foundation, or being, running some part of it or what have you. $600,000 and buying a $10 million home? Hello? You know, she's got to be complicit in some of this stuff. Again, I don't know, I'm not sure, but you know, shouldn't we not find out, and should we not find out before she gets the nomination? Well, I guess we could let her get the nomination and then make sure we do the full-blown investigation and uncover everything, force her to resign, and then who are the Democrats going to put forth? Yeah, that'll learn them a lesson. Don't try this crap. You know, hey, kids, don't try this at home. So, you know, we could go down the list of things. Well, okay, well, let's see. I don't know, suspicious behaviors and things like that when she's back at the Rose Law Firm. You know, how did she turn, you know, was there insider trading? I don't think we really investigated that fully. Vince Foster, suicide, apparent suicide. I don't think that the right people did a full, thorough investigation of that incident. You know, and we go to, she tried to be a little bit more quiet when she was senator. She didn't really accomplish anything, but then she became Secretary of State, and all of a sudden, you know, the Clinton Foundation, and there's this pay-to-play thing that comes out, and people just want to say, well, it's no big deal. You know, while she's a Secretary of State, we've got Benghazi, we've got, you know, a poor reset with Russia. What was that all about? Was there some pay-to-play influence there, you know, to screw up that reset, as she calls it? Resetting Russia? I mean, there are a number of different things going way, way back that we have not gotten full clarification or full complete answers on. We need to get full complete. And look, we have got the New York Times, for crying out loud, looking into Marco Rubio's meager finances. And yet they're not even touching how the Clintons went from dead broke leaving the White House to being some of the richest people in the country, worth millions upon millions of dollars. Really, how did that happen? They didn't have any jobs. Well, you know, she was senator, but that paid less than $200,000 a year. So they didn't have any jobs. You know, and the president's, you know, his retirement salary is, what is that? 200? He gets $200,000-$300,000 a year. So, you know, even $500,000 a year for not really working, that's pretty incredible, actually. Wish I could do that. Huh. Well, yeah, they wrote a couple of books, got huge advances for the books, and I know Hillary's didn't do squat, didn't meet the minimums at all, from what I understand, didn't meet the advance that she got. Guess the publisher lost on that one. But then they have this Clinton Family Foundation thing. And all of a sudden, it's flush with cash, flush with money. They spend tons of money, and they won't, you know. Well, yeah, they talk about how transparent it is. not very transparent. Because when you ask him, well, where's all the money going? Well, we can't tell you that. It's a private foundation. We don't got to tell you that. It's going in their pocket. It's lining their pockets. I'm just telling you, folks, that none of this passes the smell test. This all needs to be investigated further. It needs to be investigated completely, fully. It needs to be done by somebody who's impartial, who isn't in this for politics or for making a name for themselves or anything like that. It needs to be done by somebody who's above board. Somebody, I don't know who that is. You know, but we can find somebody like that. You know, I don't know who that might be, but you know, yeah, we can find people like that. And they would be in charge of the investigation. They would be in, and if any, they should also be allowed to bring down any criminal or civil charges, from laws that have been broken, from rules or regulations that have been broken. And anybody who's been hurt by the Clintons should be notified of, you know, of what has been found, and they should be allowed to then pursue civil litigation against the Clintons. And we need to just use the legal process to take these people down. She is untrustworthy. I mean, you can look at her and tell, you know, she's, you know, there are people that you can look at. Well, man, they got some evil eyes, or they got crazy eyes, or they got, you know, so there's, she just has untrustworthy eyes. Aha. Uh-huh. You know, she's got like these, you know, cold eyes. Like she doesn't really care. What difference does it make? Well, it makes a lot of difference. Because you're not the queen of the United States. Your husband is not the king. I know you kind of like to think that you're royalty, but you're not. We don't have royalty, for one. And two, I don't think either one of you are related to royalty, so let's not even pretend. Not about royalty. It's about loyalty. And the only loyalty that these two have, the Clintons have, are... And I'm not even going to say, well, yeah, it is loyalty to each other, but loyalty to their finances, their money, their power. That's all they're all about. Hey, folks, don't forget tomorrow I will be out in Easton, Massachusetts. But for now, we are out of time. So this is General Eccles along with Sam over there. I'll be back here live on Friday. Until then, I'm Rod Eccles. This has been the Rod Eccles Show. I'm out.